I'd like to give you all a warm welcome to our service this evening. Tonight is the induction of our new pastor, Pastor Johnny Amrud. And it's lovely to see him sitting here at the front seat. And a very special welcome to, of course, to the pastor's wife, Jessica. And it's lovely to see our three boys here tonight, Josiah and Jacob and Joseph. All good Bible names. If you're listening into our service tonight by way of sermon audio, we welcome you too and trust that you will be blessed through listening into our service tonight. I'd also like to welcome our visiting speaker tonight, Mr. Ian Wilson, who is the pastor of the Rath Ryland Church. We have heard him on many occasions and been blessed through his ministry. And he'll be speaking later on in the service this evening. It's hard to believe that 4 years have passed now since our former pastor, Pastor Lyle, stepped down here from the pastorate of the church. And I just want to say a big thank you tonight to all those who have helped us over the past months and years and ministering the word in the Sunday mornings. I'm preaching the gospel on Sunday night and also taking part in the Bible readings. A big thank you to you all. We're looking forward this evening to the ministry of our new pastor, and he's beginning on Sunday morning, all being well. And I trust that all of you will be out on Sunday morning to welcome him and to support him by attending the meetings. Not only the Sunday meetings, but Pastor Amrud will be taking the Bible class on Tuesday night. And we would like you all to come and support him on the Tuesday night as well. You know, our opening hymn tonight of our service is one that we know very well. And we'll be singing it in a moment, but after we sing our opening hymn, we're glad to have Pastor Lyle with us tonight, and he's going to pray after we sing the hymn. And then after that, our good brother Morris here, one of our elders, is going to give the history of the call to Mr. Amrud. And then we're going to have a duet or some of the choir singing here tonight, and we're looking forward to that also. So our opening hymn is coming up. Maybe it's coming up on the board, is it? No, you've got it on your sheet. You've got it on your program in front of you. O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Now this is a lovely hymn. Let's hear you really sing it out tonight. Thank you.
Just before we seek the Lord's face in prayer, I do want to wish Pastor Omeroyd and his wife, Jessica, God's richest blessing as they begin their ministry in Lurgan. I trust that in the days that lie ahead, that both pastor and people will know times of refreshing from the presence of the Lord, and that God's servant may have the joy of seeing the work of God and the people of God built up here, and precious souls coming to saving faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. 46 years ago, Pastor Mullen spoke at my induction in Carriduff when I was starting out in my early 20s. He said this: Dennis is not coming as one of the boys. He's coming as the pastor of the church. Recognize him. Respect him. Refresh him. And I would say that to the folk, the good folk in Lurgan tonight. God's servant is not coming as one of the boys. He's coming as the Lord's servant. He's coming as a man sent from God. Recognize him. Respect him. Refresh him. One verse of scripture that I want to leave with Johnny tonight, it's found in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and the verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. May the Lord bless both pastor and people in the days that lie ahead. Let's bow together in prayer. Eternal God, our loving Father, we humble ourselves tonight in the name of the Lord Jesus, the sole and only head of the church. And we thank Thee, our Father, tonight that through Him and by Him, we have access into Thy holy presence. We come, Lord, tonight on no merits of our own, but we thank Thee that we come on the basis of the precious blood, the atoning sacrifice, and the finished work. We thank You tonight that we can say with the hymn writer, we have no other argument, we want no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died, and that He died for me. We thank Thee, Lord, tonight for a Savior who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. We thank Thee for one tonight who lives in the power of an endless life. One who is seated, one who is throned, one who is crowned with glory. And our Father, we bow before Thee tonight, and we acknowledge Thee as the God of all grace. We thank Thee, Lord, for the work of grace in Johnny's life. We thank Thee, Lord, for his godly upbringing. We thank You, Lord, that both him and Jessica were cradled in the gospel. And we thank You, Lord, for that moment in their life's experience when they were saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, to the glory of God alone. We thank Thee, Lord, tonight, that Thou art the God of providence. And our Father, we thank You for the exercise of the elders and the church in directing their steps to Thy servant. And we thank You, our Father, that he tonight can say, I, being in the way, the Lord led me. Father, we commend Thy child to Thee this evening. And we ask, O God, Thy blessing upon him. We pray, Lord, for his pulpit ministry, as he stands behind this sacred desk Sunday after Sunday and Tuesday after Tuesday, that he might know the power and the unction and the demonstration of the Spirit of God. We pray, Lord, not only for his pulpit ministry, we pray for his pastoral ministry. We ask Thee, Lord, that as he tends the flock, that he might know Thy rich blessing upon him. We pray, Lord, tonight for his personal ministry, those times in the secret place when he will meet with God. O God, draw near. Bless thy servant, we pray of thee, in his preaching ministry, in his pastoral ministry, in his private ministry. Father, we commend him and his wife and three boys to thee. We commend the church here in Lurgan to thee. And, O God, we long that in the days that lie ahead, thy servants will know times of refreshing from the presence of the Lord. Our Father, we thank thee tonight that thou art not only the God of grace and the God of providence, but, Lord, we thank thee tonight that thou art the God of comfort. And even in this induction service, we think of those from this assembly tonight who have been tragically bereaved. We pray for the Mullen family. We pray for the McNabb family. And we pray for the Kearns family. And we ask thee, Lord, tonight that in their sorrow they might prove thee to be the God of all comfort. Bless all who will take part this evening. Remember especially thy servant who will open thy word. Give him liberty and unction from on high tonight. May the word of the Lord have free course in our midst and be glorified. Lord, may we leave this house tonight saying, it was good for us to have been here. For here we met with the Lord. We ask all these mercies. Through Jesus Christ our Lord we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Dennis. It's good to see you and to share the platform with you tonight. And it's good to see you all here tonight. Can I double up on that welcome that Ronnie has already expressed tonight? There's a whole lot of places you could have been on a Friday night. Maybe some of you would have been inclined to go to the DUP 50th anniversary dinner. Maybe not as many as there used to be. Or maybe Ulster, I don't know, is Ulster playing tonight? Or maybe you could have been more spiritual and you could have been off to the GMSU BBQ. But no, you're found here tonight in God's house and you've chosen the spiritual over the carnal. So we're glad to see you here tonight and we trust that the Lord will bless you for your time with us. It's hard to believe, as Ronnie has said, that 4 years have passed since Pastor Lyle retired from the pastorist here in Lurgan. And at that point in time, the elders never had intended for our vacancy to last for as long as it did. Dennis had given us good notice of his intention to retire, and the elders were already meeting to consider who should be considered for the role. And the conversation was entered with a brother, and a number of meetings were held between both parties. However, that brother never felt any leading from the Lord to come to us here in Lurgan, and that avenue of inquiry was closed. Thus began what turned out to be a prolonged period of vacancy. However, these were good years, and the assembly remained in spiritual good health, and souls were saved, and folk were baptized, and added to the assembly. So we have a lot to be thankful to God for, even in those intervening years. And we are very grateful, as Ronnie has said, to all of the men who helped us out during that vacancy, whether it was pastors from other churches or some of the retired pastors or some of the younger men with gift, many of whom are even within this fellowship. And we're grateful to all of them for their help over that period of time. And the Lord, of course, makes no mistakes. And the vacancy allowed time and space for a certain young man in this assembly to cut his preaching teeth, and now he's the pastor in Kilray Baptist Church. During these 4 years, the elders regularly talked about, and more importantly, prayed about, the vacancy. Many names were mentioned in those discussions, but there was never a name where everyone said, yes, that's the man. That's not to say that the elders were in disagreement at any point. There just wasn't a name. At least it was that way until May of this year. I used to wonder, how will we know if a man is the right man? How will we be able to tell? How will we be able to discern that? Now looking back, I have to say, when the Lord starts to work, it's very evident when his hand is in the thing. At our May elders meeting, for the first time, everyone was feeling the same exercise for the same name, Johnny Omeril. That night we agreed to leave it for a month and to continue to pray about it and to raise the topic again at our June meeting. We did so, and everyone was still of the same mind. So the decision was made that we would make an approach to Johnny and see if he would be willing to meet with us. And he was. And he met with us in early July, and it was a very, very good meeting. And Johnny told us that night, and he'll maybe tell us a little bit more from his side in a moment, but he told us that night of the fact that he wasn't surprised to have been approached, because he felt in his own life that the Lord was, as he described it, stirring the nest and unsettling him and revealing to him that there was something else for him to do in his service. We also discovered that night in our conversations with Johnny that we were all on the same page theologically, and that's very important. It was agreed that night that Johnny would take some time to consider if he was willing to allow his name to go forward for consideration to our membership. And a little time later, Johnny confirmed his willingness, and a special meeting of the church was convened here on Wednesday, the 11th of August. And that night, our membership voted overwhelmingly to issue a call to Johnny. And I consider that a miracle, because as you will all know, when you have two Baptists in the same room, you have at least three opinions. A few days later, after that night, when we had informed Johnny of the outcome, he confirmed to us that he was willing to accept the call and to come and join us. And here we are tonight with Johnny and Jessica and Josiah and Jacob and Joseph before us. And we're delighted to have them. And we're delighted to welcome them here tonight. During the vacancy, I preached a message based on the 23rd Psalm called The Ideal Shepherd. And my motivation in preaching that message was to equip the local church as to what we should be looking for in a pastor. And that message had three headings in relation to what we required in a pastor. I said we needed a pastor who would lead us. And I talked about how we needed someone to lead us in terms of direction. We wanted someone who was going in the right direction. And I've already mentioned how Johnny is on the same page as us theologically, and we're confident that he'll lead us in the right direction. And also, someone who would lead us by their example. And we believe that Johnny is a godly man and will lead us by example. Also said on that occasion that we need a pastor who will feed us. Of course, that is a reference to the breaking of the bread of life, the preaching of God's word and the ministry of the gospel. And we have already had Johnny on our platform on more than one occasion, and know that he is a capable teacher of the word of God. And then we said that we needed a pastor who will heed us. That is, one who will care for the flock, for the sick, and for the downcast. And we know of Johnny that he has that pastor's heart. So we believe, and we're confident tonight, that we have got the ideal shepherd. I firmly believe that Johnny Omeril, we have found such a man, and he's God's man for Lurgan. Dennis, I think, quoted in his prayer there was a man sent from God. And of course, you know that that was John the Baptist. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. Well, we've got a man sent from God whose name is Johnny. So it's pretty close, isn't it? Johnny has always impressed me from the first time I met him. But in these recent weeks, as I've spoken to him on a regular basis, I am more and more impressed by his godly character. And I am so pleased that he's joining us as our pastor. I just want to leave a couple of verses of scripture with Johnny and Jessica and the family tonight. It's the prayer of Moses for the children of Israel. It's found in Numbers 6. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. God bless you. The group is going to come now and sing. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'd like to thank the group for singing to us this evening. I'm asking one of our other elders tonight, Mr. Alan Carson, to come up and to say something about Johnny, and of course we're going to welcome them in officially in a moment or two. Thanks, Alan.
You may have noticed from the order of service at this point in our meeting, it's entitled Right-Handed Fellowship and Induction, followed by five names. Maybe you're thinking, why does it take five men to do the job that one could do? Maybe some of the ladies have been thinking like that. But that will become apparent soon. That will become apparent soon because the reason for that is simply this. It was remarkable how that we were of one mind and of one accord when it came to Johnny Ormerod as being the man for Lurgan Baptist Church. And we all wish this evening to join together and welcome him to the meeting here. And we'll do that in a moment or two. As we welcome our dear brother Johnny to the pastorate of Lurgan Baptist Church, I have been asked to say a few words, and the words that I had in mind, I think you know, have been in keeping with what Dennis has already said this evening. And that is the pastor and what's required of a pastor, and also what's required of us as members. The pastor and the people. That little text in the prophecy of Micah, what doth the Lord require of thee, has been much in my mind. And I'd like just to, referring to some New Testament scriptures, let's see what the Lord requires of us. Dennis says we are to recognize him, respect him, refresh him. It said of the Lord Jesus Christ that when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and he gave gifts unto men. He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors, teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and for the edifying of the body of Christ. As our brother Johnny comes amongst us this evening, as a shepherd of the flock here, he shall take the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly. And he shall be an example of the believers in word and in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. He shall give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. He shall give himself continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. He shall hold fast the faithful word as has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. He shall labor in the word and in doctrine, and he shall be counted worthy of double honor. As one who has studied to show himself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. He shall preach the word, the instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. He shall do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of his ministry. He shall feed the flock of God, over which the Holy Ghost has made him an overseer. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, he shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. What about us as members? As our brother takes his place as the overseer of this assembly this evening, there's a responsibility that upon each of us as members. Members of this assembly are solemnly required to know them which labor among us and are over you in the Lord and admonish you. To esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Members shall also remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God. Members shall obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls. As they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Furthermore, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, and the laborer is worthy of his reward. And also, against an elder, receive not an accusation, but before two or three witnesses. Pastor and people alike this evening, let's endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. I'm going to ask Johnny, and I'm going to go down to the front now. I'm going to ask Johnny and Jessica if they come to the front as we welcome them and offer them the right hand of fellowship. Johnny, God bless you, and may you be a blessing amongst us. Jessica, lovely to have you. Welcome to Lurgan Baptist Church. And we pray that we will be a blessing to you as much as you, in turn, will be a blessing to us. Just stay there. Other men, please join me. We all wish to make you welcome. I just ask the boys to come up as well. One ahead, Jacob and Joseph and Josiah. I'm sorry, I'm the one empty handed. See this man? See this man here? Johnny, you're the only man not getting anything. I have to say, Jessica, let's just pray a wee word of prayer, please. Our Father in heaven, we thank thee this evening for this joyous occasion. And it is indeed an occasion that we will remember. And it is an occasion that is pivotal in the life of this church. We thank thee for godly men of the past, and for the foundations led for this church here. But our Father, this evening we thank thee especially for the godly man that thou hast brought into our midst. And our Father, we pray for Johnny tonight. We thank thee for him. We thank thee for the way in which thou hast blessed his ministry thus far. And our Father, we pray for Jessica tonight, and that both together that thou will make them a blessing to us here. Our Father, we pray that they might feel the warmth of our welcome. And our Father, we pray that thou will bless them as they move into this district and into this town and into this church. And our Father, we pray that the ministry that goes forth from this place might be Christ exalting, and the saints will be edified. And our Father, that there will be that evangelistic thrust that we would love to see in our day and generation. We thank thee for saving Johnny and Jessica early in life. We thank thee for the way in which thou hast blessed them and directed them and guided them thus far. And our Father, we pray that thou continue to bless them. We pray that this assembly here might indeed in turn be a help and a haven and a home for them. But our Father, we pray much this evening for the ministry of thy servant. We pray that thou bless them. And our Father, we pray that thou use them mightily. And our Father, we pray that, God willing, if the Lord be not come, that there might be days ahead for Lurgan, where we see the hand of God move. And our Father, we see a work done for thyself. So our Father, we pray and thank thee for Johnny and Jessica and the family tonight. Bless them, we ask. And our Father, we pray for thy continued presence with us in the meeting this evening. We ask these things in our Savior's precious name. Amen.
Now, just to speak to us. Thank you, John.
Well, I am very thankful for the opportunity that I have to stand before you tonight, and indeed for the occasion for which we are gathered, and we praise the Lord indeed for that. It is troubling even within to hear described to you the man that you desire to be, not the man that you consider yourself to be. And that is something that I leave before the Lord, and I'm thankful tonight that I have a great God, and he meets us at the very point of our need, and we pray that even he will do so in this hour as well. As I give a little response to the call, I want to do so just leaving with you three Bible verses. But I suppose it's better to start at the beginning. And right around the start of this year, many of you will know that I was laid aside for a number of weeks. And during the period of sickness, as I was reading my Bible and studying, it was apparent to me that a word kept reappearing in my readings over and over again. And as I progressed to better health and resumed ministry once again, this very much was the reoccurrence time after time. And perhaps you're asking yourself, well, what was that word or what was that phrase that appeared time and time again? Well, you're going to have to wait to Sunday for that word or for that phrase. And so it's something to return to. But nevertheless, it was very clear to me that the Lord was seeking to bring something to my attention, was seeking to indeed communicate a message to my heart. And it led to what I would describe as a very unsettling time in my life and my spiritual life, even around the end of March, beginning of April. And it was during that time that I was in a prayer, a time before the Lord, that I just laid it all before him and said, whatever this is, whatever you're seeking to communicate to me, I pray that I was to do so even in a very clear and a very evident manner. As the Lord does very often in our lives, there was a time of waiting. There was a time of patiently waiting, and indeed a time of impatiently waiting also. But nevertheless, the Lord was good. And one evening then, I was approached by Morris on behalf of the elders. And it was at that approach, of course, that we agreed to meet. But as I returned home and discussed the matter with Jessica, we came before the Lord and we claimed this verse, because we knew that it was a time of uncertainty, a time indeed that would unsettle perhaps our own family, perhaps the church that we were in, and indeed the church perhaps that we were going to meet with. And so we claim this verse, Psalm 138 and the verse 8, where the psalmist writes, "The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me." And can I tell you without equivocation tonight that the Lord has done exactly that? I could take time to deliberate on the small things right through to the large things, but I am thankful to God that he has perfected every step of the journey. And we praise him indeed for that and him alone. When I met with the elders, there was a date agreed, there was a time agreed. And I remember that in my readings the evening before I met with them, the words of Acts 23 and the verse 11 were included in my readings that evening. And it tells us, "The night following, the Lord stood by him and said, Be of good cheer, Paul, for as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must I bear witness also at Rome." And I knew there and then that the Lord was moving me on, and that the Lord had prepared a place, a calling for me. And as I met with the elders, it was very clear that they were of the same mind. And I'm truly thankful for how the Lord confirmed that to me, and indeed confirmed it to them. But there was, of course, the small matter of a church meeting to follow, and we're thankful for the Lord's indeed blessing in that, and how even the fellowship here knew that leading, knew that guiding of the Lord. And so as we come to this meeting tonight, I want to express on behalf of my wife and my family and I a sincere thanks to the elders and to the deacons for all their help in the practicalities of moving. Also, most importantly, I believe, the time and devotion and the necessity of the meetings, the prayer times and the discussions, all of which have culminated in this occasion tonight. I want to thank each one that's had a part to play, even in the organizing and of every aspect of tonight's service. I want to thank Ian for being willing to speak to us here and from the Word of God in just a few moments. And I want to thank, indeed, our brother Dennis as well, who has always been a good friend to me. And I'm thankful to him, even for his willingness to take part in the service tonight. I also want to thank the people of Grange, as many of who I see even are out this evening. And I want to thank them for their love and for their kindness and for their devotion to me down through the years of ministry there. And we're thankful for what the Lord even did in our lives and even together as we served him in that locality. But I do want to thank the Church of Lurgan, the people of Lurgan. I want to thank you for your welcome, for your generosity, and for your prayers and for your encouragement, all of which I truly can say have been exemplary, both in the run-up to tonight and indeed in what has been already shared tonight. And we give the Lord praise and thanks for that. And I truly look forward with great expectation to the days ahead and to what the Lord will do as we seek to serve him together. I'm humbled, I'm thankful, and I am expectant. And as your pastor here, I plead for your patience. I ask for your love. And I beseech you for your prayers. And may the Lord truly bless us together as we seek to serve him. And for you and for me, may it be onwards and upwards, but always forwards as we seek to do his work in the way that he intended it to be done. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Johnny. It's lovely to have Pastor Ian Wilson with us tonight, and he'll be coming shortly to speak to us. We're going to sing a hymn together. It's coming up on the screen. Also, it's on your sheet tonight. Behold what love, what boundless love the Father hath bestowed. We'll stand to sing, let you change your position.
much, Ronnie, for your kind words of welcome. We're coming to the book of Romans tonight. Romans chapter 10, please. Romans chapter 10, and we're going to read from the verse number 13. Romans chapter 10, and reading from verse number 13. After Morris and Alan, I don't think you really need a preacher tonight. I think they have covered everything that I was going to cover. But we look to the Lord just to speak to all of our hearts and encourage us on this special night for Johnny, Jessica and the boys, and a special night in the history of Lurgan Baptist Church. Romans chapter 10, and we'll read from verse number 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How shall they call in him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring tidings of good things. And we do look to the Lord to bless the public reading of his own precious, infallible, inerrant, and inspired word to our hearts this evening. I do count it a privilege. Johnny has thanked me over and over again. I've been speaking to him a few times for being willing to come tonight and take part in the meeting. But I was thrilled when he asked me, so pleased, honored to be here. I have followed Johnny and Jessica's progress when they come back into our province. And we've seen them go on with the Lord and grow. And indeed how the Lord has used them in many, many places. And it's a real joy to be here this evening. Johnny and I meet. We used to meet in Cookstown. We'll have to change the venue. We'll have to get somewhere between Rathfreyland and Lurgan, but no doubt we'll find a suitable spot where him and I can have a little chat now and again. It's good to have Johnny's fellowship, and it's good to have him as a friend in the work of the Lord. You know, a new pastor, as we've heard tonight, there's much expected of them. I remember when I commenced in 1997 in Grove Baptist Church, I remember Pastor Jackie Hughes, and you all know Jackie. Jackie said to me, I'm going to give you one bit of advice. Keep in with the treasure. Keep in with the treasure. Although Alan was empty-handed tonight, I'm not sure he's much use. But I would say, not only keep in with the treasure, but keep in with whoever's in charge of the music. I heard a story about a pastor and him and the choir master had fallen out. They had a wee bit of a disagreement. And so when the pastor got up to preach about the need to give more and to dedicate their lives to the Lord, the choir master said, we're going to sing, I Shall Not Be Moved. Then on another occasion, he was preaching on the need to tithe and to give. And the choir master says, we're going to sing, Jesus Paid It All. Then he preached a message on gossiping. And again, the choir master called to him, I Love to Tell the Story. Eventually, the pastor got so fed up, he said one Sunday, I'm a bit fed up, and in a few months' time, I'm going to leave. And the choir master said, we'll sing, Oh, Why Not Tonight? Then eventually, after another week or two, he said, you know, Jesus has called me to go to another place. And the choir master said, let's sing, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. I have no doubt that won't be the case here in Lurgan Baptist Church. No doubt at all. I know the welcome for Johnny is sincere, and I know that the people of God are looking forward to having a pastor here in the assembly. You know, in the book of Romans, it's a marvelous book. It's a book in which Paul deals with some great and mighty and weighty subjects. What a marvelous book it is. We're told about man's condemnation for all of sin and come short of the glory of God. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, this book says you're a sinner. But you know, it not only talks about man's condemnation, it talks about the sinner's justification. Romans 5 verse 1, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And what a glorious message of salvation. Paul outlines the sinfulness of man, but you know, he doesn't leave them without hope. And he says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. What a wonderful message that Paul has given to us. He then talks about the saints' sanctification. Romans 6 verse 11. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And then we get into chapter 8. What a glorious chapter, where we're reminded that there's no condemnation. We're reminded that nothing is able to separate us from the love of God, which is found in Christ Jesus our Lord. And Paul gives us so many wonderful promises. You know, so much so that perhaps Jews would be thinking, you know, what about the promises God made to us? You know, how can you believe that God will keep his promises to you? What about all the promises that were made to Israel? And in Romans chapter 9 through to chapter 11, Paul really deals with the question of Israel. Romans 11 verse 1, for instance, I say then, hath God cast away his people? God forbid, for I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. And so that sort of sets the context for Romans chapter 9, 10 and 11. I really want to just pick out these verses, verse 14 to 15. I'm not going to speak about them all this evening, but there are four questions, verse 14 through to verse number 15. A former pastor of this church, who's already been mentioned this evening, Pastor William Mullen, he said that these were logical impossibilities. And you know, in the pastorate, you meet some impossibilities. You'll know the old statement, you can please some of the people all of the time. You can please all of the people some of the time, but you can't please all the people all of the time. And so it's impossible to please everyone. And of course, all of us know that this evening. But I want to break it down very simply. Something that Pastor Lyle said in his opening prayer, something that he mentioned, and again, Morris alluded to it, and we'll see as we get into the message this evening. I believe we see a necessity here. Look at verse number 15. How shall they preach except to be sent? It's already been mentioned this evening, and Morris stole my thunder because he changed the authorized version. I was going to ask for permission to do it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. There is a man sent from God, and his name's John. And you see, here's the most important qualification for a pastor this evening. You may be surprised. It's not his knowledge of the word that's so important. It's not his oratory. It's not his great personality. But to know that he's sent from God and sent by God, that's the greatest qualification. And I believe before us this evening, we have a man that has been sent by God. You know, the angel Gabriel was sent by God. Luke 1 verse 26. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth. Do you remember what Isaiah said? Here am I, send me. And as we've already been reminded of John the Baptist, it was said there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The elders of the assembly here met together. They prayed about it, and the name of Johnny Omeroyd was brought before them by the Lord. Johnny and Jessica prayed about it. They sought the Lord, and the Lord said, yes, this is of me. This is the way I want you to go. This assembly, the membership came together, and they considered what the elders had brought before them. And overwhelmingly, they too agreed that Johnny Omeroyd was a man sent from God. So I don't believe tonight we have to suppose. I don't believe tonight we have to second guess. I honestly believe before us tonight there is a man sent from God. What does it mean when God sends a man? You see, as we think of this necessity this evening, I was thinking, we've mentioned some already, of those who were sent by God. The greatest man ever sent by God was the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, in John 3, verse 17, for God sent not a son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. Galatians 4, verse 4, when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth a son, made of a woman, made under the law. 1 John 4, verse 9, and this was manifested, the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten son into the world, that we might live through him. Now, I know Christ's ministry was unique. I know that it was special. I know that there's no comparison any of us can make with the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. But in his humanity, he too was a man sent from God. And I thought about Christ being sent from God. You know, it reminded me of some things. Johnny has alluded to it this evening, and when Alan was going through the role of a pastor, I was becoming more and more embarrassed with every statement. I know there's an elder from Refreeland here tonight, and I said, you know, if they really ticked all those boxes, I would get the sack. There's so much that's expected of a man of God. But you see, when a man's sent by God, think of the Lord Jesus Christ, Hebrews 9, verse 14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself? John 3, verse 34, John the Baptist said, speaking of Christ, for he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God. For God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. Acts 10, verse 38, how that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. When God sends a man, God equips a man. I believe Johnny will be equipped for the task and Lurgan Baptist. I believe the Lord will give to him all that he needs, because a sent man will be an equipped man. I believe it speaks of the equipping. I believe there's a reassuring here as well. The Lord said in John 6, verse 38, for I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. The Lord Jesus knew that God the Father had sent him into this world to do a particular job. Johnny has that assurance when his back's against the wall, when the pressure's on, when the old devil tries to get into the mind and the servants of God, I believe, particularly in recent time, have been under attack, perhaps like never before. And Johnny knows that God has sent him here. And how reassuring it is to know, in those dark times and difficult times, that God has sent us. And we keep going back, and I would encourage Johnny to keep reminding himself, God has sent me here. God has sent me here. In spite of the trials, and no doubt there'll be trials, how reassuring it is. I remember when I went to a church to pastor it, someone gave me Acts 16, verse 10. After he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. And how that comforted me over and over again. Assuredly gathered that the Lord had called us. Johnny, God has sent you here. God will equip you. God will reassure you. And there's times we need that reassurance. You only think of a man sent from God. There's equipping, there's reassuring. Of course, it involves surrendering. The Lord said in John 5, verse 30, I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father that has sent me. It's God's will that matters and nothing else. And Johnny will want to be at the center of the will of God. A man sent from God understands the awesome responsibility and get the wonderful privilege to be sent from God to Lurgan Baptist Church to serve him in this place. I think it talks about equipping, reassuring, surrendering. I think it also reminds us that it can be trying. We've already mentioned something about this, but you think of God sending his Son into the world and think of what Christ had to endure. He is despised and rejected of men. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. As I say, Christ, of course, has a unique and had a unique ministry. But a man sent from God doesn't mean it's a rosy pathway. Doesn't mean that everything's going to be easy. There will be difficulties. There will be trials. Johnny already has faced a great upheaval, and Jessica and the boys as well, to leave home, to come to a new home, new schools, new church, and he hasn't even started yet. Think of all the upheaval and all that happens. And you know, there's trials and there's tests and there's so many things. I remember Pastor Sam Carson saying to me one time, he said, Ian, there are people with problems. And then he says, there are problem people. Don't be one of the problem people. People with problems, we're here to help. But problem people, sometimes there's just no help in them. You see the necessity to be sent from God. There's the equipping. There's the reassuring, there's the surrendering, there's the trying. And then, of course, there is the rewarding. Here's what we read of Christ, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Isaiah 53, verse 11. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. What a joy in serving the Lord. How rewarding already. Alan has mentioned it this evening. When the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. What a rewarding thing to serve the Lord. To be able to do something for the one who has given his all for us. The man sent from God, it can be a rewarding thing. Sometimes perhaps it doesn't feel rewarding. A preacher was preaching one Sunday, and the sermon was long, and the sermon was boring. Now, you'll not get that in Lurgan Baptist. I can promise you that here this evening. And nobody said a word going out. But then one wee man said, you know, your sermon reminded me of the peace of God and the love of God. And the old pastor said, why is that? He said it was like the peace of God had passed understanding. It was like the love of God had just endured forever. And I can assure you, that's not what you're going to get in Lurgan Baptist Church. You see the equipping, you see the reassuring, the surrendering, the trying, the rewarding. And then a man sent from God will be a caring man. Think about the Lord Jesus Christ. He was touched with the feeling of our infirmities. When the Lord Jesus stood at a grave, he wept. And I've often said to people, sometimes people say, particularly in funeral and heartbreaking situations, do you ever get used with it? I don't want to get used with it. Don't want to get used with it. Because you want to feel what the people are feeling. You want to empathize with them. You want to understand them. I believe Johnny's got a pastor's heart. It's not something you'll get in Bible college. It's something that God gives you. And I believe you've got a man with a pastor's heart, a man who will care for the flock, a man who will want to help, a man who will be there to do what he can to help you, whatever you're facing. The Lord Jesus was a man sent from God. I say there's a unique ministry, but he was moved with compassion. And that's a challenge to all of us, not to lose that pastor's heart. But then you see a man sent from God, there's also an accounting. What about those to whom he is sent? You see, we read of the Lord Jesus Christ, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. The Lord told a parable in Matthew 21, verse 33. Here, another parable. There was a certain householder which planted a vineyard and hedged it round about, and digged a winepress in it, and built a tower, and let it out to husbandmen, and went into a far country. And then it goes on to say, but last of all, he sent unto them his son. And here's the picture of Christ being sent. They will reverence my son. But when the husbandmen saw the son, they said among themselves, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him. Let us seize the inheritance. And you can see that they were accountable for how they treated the son, the one that was sent. And brethren and sisters in Lurgan Baptist Church, you're accountable to how you treat a man sent from God. If you believe that Johnny's sent from God, then you have an accountability, and you've been reminded of this evening. You need to pray for him. You need to encourage him. You need to help him. And when I say him, I mean Johnny, Jessica, and the family. You need to look out for him. You need to be there for him. I remember, I think it was Pastor Lyle, he was taking part in some of my inductions. He says, you know, encourage Ian, he can take a lot of it. And Johnny could take a lot of encouragement. I can promise you it'll not go to his head. There's so much to discourage. And how Johnny will need your encouragement. You have a responsibility, because this man sent from God. You see, there's a necessity. You know, as I think of the Apostle Paul here, he had some tough things to say in the book of Romans. Some things that probably offended people. And maybe thought this is a bit of a heartless man, but when you get to Romans 9, if you look back into the previous chapter, verse 1, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. Here was a man with a burdened heart. Here was a man with a broken heart. And when you look at Romans 10, verse 1, he says, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. He had a beseeching heart. You know, when we read about the Apostle Paul, you would think he was more than human. But we see he was just a man with a broken heart and a burdened heart and a beseeching heart. And your pastor is just a man. He's a man sent from God, but he's just a man. He hurts. He bleeds. He weeps. If I could put something over all of God's servants and speak to God's people, I would say this, handle with care. Handle with care. You see the necessity. He was sent. And then we see the priority here. Don't think the other points won't be as long, I promise you. You see in verse 15, how shall they preach except they be sent? Here's the priority. It's already been quoted tonight, 2 Timothy 4, verse 2. Preach the word. There's a man sent from God to preach and to teach the word of God. That's his priority. He's come here. He needs time to study the word of God. He needs time to prepare. And he must come into this pulpit and feed the flock of God. That's the priority. Let me mention the singularity. Look at chapter 10, verse 13 to 14 again. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? What was the message that the man sent from God was to bring? It was a message centered on Christ. Christ. I remember again going back to 1997. I remember at my first induction service, I remember our late brother Tom Fleming, he was a secretary in the church then, and Tom said to me, a wee bit of advice, make much of Christ. Make much of Christ. And we are to preach Christ from Genesis to Revelation. You'll never run out of material when you tell people about Christ. Speak about his condescension. Speak about his ministration. Speak about his crucifixion, his resurrection, his ascension, his location. He's seated at the right hand of God. Speak about the expectation Jesus Christ is coming again. Preach Christ. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 2, Paul says, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Here's the priority, preach and teach. Here's the singularity, here's the message. Christ, just lift up Christ. Exalt Christ. He's in every passage. He's in every book. He's there from Genesis to Revelation. I say, lift up Christ. And Christ lifted up, he will draw all men unto him. You see the necessity. There's a man here, and he's sent from God. You see his priority? To preach and to teach the word of God. You see the singularity? His message, his theme will be Christ. And Christ will be exalted in this place. These past 2 years, I believe, have been very difficult for churches and for pastors. I've said in my pastoral ministry, it's been the most difficult time to shut the door of a building. And to go against everything that we taught from Hebrews, we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. And for the servants of God, it's heartbreaking. Not to have the people of God with us, and how we miss the fellowship, how we miss the breaking of bread. Just gathering around the Lord's table just to remember the Lord, we'll never take it for granted again. Never take it for granted again. It's been difficult. It's been hard. It's been burdensome. And I thank God for the example Lurgan Baptist has set in the furtherance of the gospel, even through these difficult times. And I pay tribute to the elders in this assembly for the work that they have done. And I believe we're coming and entering a new dawn. And I believe through your new pastor, I believe God can do great things. I've been going through the book of Nehemiah and Murph Ryland. And you know, someone said to me one time, preaching through Nehemiah, boy, he had a lot to put up with. But you know, when you get to Nehemiah chapter 6, verse 15, it says the wall was finished. He saw the work through. Here's what it says in verse 16. And it came to pass, when all our enemies heard thereof, and all the heathen that were about us saw these things, they were much cast down in their own eyes. And here's what they said. For they perceived that this work was wrought of our God. Even the enemies, when they saw the walls go up, the gates being repaired, when they saw what Nehemiah, through God, was able to do, they stood back and they said, this is the work of God. That's what we want to hear of Lurgan Baptist Church. We want to hear that God is working. They perceived that this work was wrought of our God. Johnny won't mind me saying this. Nobody's interested in what Johnny's going to do in Lurgan. We want to see what God's going to do. And God can do great and marvelous things. I hope you get behind your man. I hope you really encourage him. You know, I was in the car the other morning, and a lady from Mayo Bridge rang me. And she said, have you still that COVID testing center in the church? There's a mobile testing center that's been operating in the church for the past number of weeks. The public health people run it. It's nothing to do with us. And I said, yes, it's still there. Opens at 8 o'clock in the morning. She says, where is that church at? I says, you come up the Newry Road. And when you come to the end of the Newry Road and referring, you turn left, you go down, and the church is in there to the right. You get through one gate, you go through another gate, and they'll tell you what to do. And she was so appreciative. And this is what she said to me. She says, thank you so much, Father. I'll tell you why I say that this evening. I Googled today, how to encourage a new pastor. Oh boy, there's some material out there. Somebody had 55 things you can do. But over nearly every list, here's what it said. Don't forget to say thank you. Just say thank you. Thank you for feeding my soul this morning. Thank you for challenging me this morning. Thank you for correcting me. Thank you for helping me to understand. Thank you for being the man that God has sent at this particular time. My prayer is that news will go out that God has wrought a work in Lurgan. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Ian, for that good word this evening. It's nice to have Denver with us tonight, and he's going to come and sing to us just now. Thank you, Denver.
Holy Ghost will do the rest. friendship's call, and home is dear. How lonely was the path he trod, then wilt thou not go through with God? Go through with God, thy vows to pay, thy life upon the altar lay. The Holy Ghost will do the rest and bring to thee God's very best. So soon eternal morn shall dawn, how fast the night is hastening on. So soon his lovely face to see, how sad to be empty-handed be. Go through with God thy vows to pay, thy life upon the altar lay. The Holy Ghost will do the rest and bring to thee God's very best. The price is high, severe the test, for those who would enjoy God's best. Surrender all, then take the road with those who will go through with God. Go through with God, thy vows to pay, thy life upon the altar lay. The Holy Ghost will do the rest and bring to thee God.
Thank you, Denver. Our closing hymn is coming up on the screen, but let me invite everyone to stay for supper this evening. And if you're staying, please remain in your seats and you will be served no matter where you are. All right. Now let's sing our closing hymn together. Thank you, Denver, for singing tonight. Maybe you should be seated, if that's all right. You know, all that's been said has been said, but the Lord has given me a verse, and I'm going to read it anyhow, and it'll only be 20 minutes or so. It's found in 1 Chronicles chapter 4, and verse 10. I've just been thinking about this verse this week. This one was asked to close the meeting tonight. 1 Chronicles 4 and verse 10. It's a man called Jabez, and Jabez was more honorable than all his brethren. The verse says, the chapter tells us. And he prayed in verse 10, he said, and Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, that thine hand might be with me, that thou wouldst keep me from evil, that it might not grieve me." And the great bit at the end of the verse tells us, "And God granted him that which he had requested." In the verse, Jabez prays for divine enrichment. He prays that the Lord would bless him indeed. He prays for divine enlargement, that the Lord might enlarge the coast, his coast. He prays for divine enablement, that God's hand would be with him. And he prays for a divine environment, that thou wouldst keep me from evil. And so that's our prayer tonight as we finish, that as we begin a new chapter in Lurgan, that just like Jabez, that the Lord would really draw near. For Johnny, for Jessica, for Josiah and Jacob and Joseph, and for the people of Lurgan, we pray for divine enrichment. We pray for divine enlargement. We pray for divine enablement. And we pray for divine environment as we work and labor till the Master comes. Due to restrictions, obviously tonight as we finish, we need to maintain the high standards of safety. And so we ask that after the meeting's over, we really hope that you can all say for supper. There's plenty of grub, as I say in our part of the world, and plenty of tea. And so we trust that everyone can stay. And we do ask you to stay in your seat, and the supper will be served to you. We know it's difficult this afternoon at 9 o'clock, and we realize that there's children here, and we know that it's difficult for them to remain seated, but if you could just try and keep your children in your seat if you can. Obviously, don't want anybody getting hurt, getting melted or roasted. So if you can do that, if you're a parent tonight, and the servers will bring food, boxes and tea to your seat. Coffee and hot water and black tea is also available, but we just want to try and keep the supper tonight as simple as possible and as safe as possible. And so we trust that as we eat and drink together and fellowship together, that the Lord will indeed bless us. Let's just commend ourselves to the Lord as we finish tonight. Our God and Father, we come into your presence tonight at the end of this induction service. We come in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. We do give thanks for our Savior. We thank thee that he is the one who has done all things well. We do give thanks, O God, for the presence of the Holy Spirit being amongst us tonight. We do give thanks for help that has been given to all those that have taken part, whether in song or in the ministry of your word. We thank you for the good word from our brother Ian, and we just pray that we will endeavor, O God, in the days that are ahead, just to take heed and to put into practice all that he has encouraged us to do tonight. And as we begin this new chapter in this church, O God, we just pray for your help and your blessing to be upon us. We do pray for the Lord's day as we begin. We pray for the ministry of your word. And we pray that you would bless Johnny as he would break the bread of life to us. And then, O God, on Sunday night, as we begin on the gospel too, we pray as we let down the nets for a draft, that even on Sunday night, O God, we pray that you would draw near.
And Lord, would it please thee even to save one soul in this house on Sunday night. And we do pray for those that we've prayed for so long, loved ones and friends still out of Christ, that even they would come to know the Saviour. And as a church, O God, tonight we do pray, like Jabez of old, that you would bless us indeed. We pray that you would increase our vision. We pray that you would give us unlimited ambition, O God. We pray that you would give us unification and cooperation, and pray for your protection upon us. And in these, the closing days of time, we pray, O God, that there be a mighty work done in this place. We pray that souls will be saved. We pray that saints will be encouraged and built up on their faith. We pray that there's those who come to know the Saviour, be baptized and become members of the church. And pray that all the said and done, O God, in this house would be for the glory and honour of the Lord Jesus. We pray above all that the name of the Lord Jesus Christ would be glorified. And so we give thanks for all that has been done tonight. And we do give thanks, Lord, for a cup of tea and supper tonight. We do give thanks for the many hours of preparation that have went in. We think of all the arrangements and all the time that has been spent by our sisters. And we just pray that you'll bless them, Lord, for this ministry and for what they've done. And pray as we fellowship and eat together tonight, we just pray that you'll bless us. We give thanks for our food tonight, Lord. And we commend ourselves to thee and give thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.